listening to the Anorak Hour on Laser International.
This is Radio Paradise, bringing you the kind of music that you like, 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. Ready, or Caroline?
Bringing the time up to 4 minutes past 9, Radio London time, the station with kicks on 266. Just, yes, 266. So let's have a look at another one that's very popular here on radio.
That's Boss Al of the Spencer Davis Group on Swinging Radio England. Somebody help me. This is England's most powerful offshore station. Swinging Radio England, home of the Boss Jocks and much more music. 17 before 4 o'clock, 355 meters on your dial.
On 242 meters in the medium wave band, this is Radio Scotland.
This is Radio 390, broadcasting on 388.1 meters in the medium wave band, Britain's most powerful commercial radio station.
You're in tune with the right side of radio, the good ship, Radio Atlanta, operating to you and everyone else at 200 meters.
Tune to Radio City, broadcasting on 299 meters, medium wave, where you've just heard Cliff Bennett and the Rebel Rousers and One Way Love.
Radio City, it sounds fine on 299.
This is Radio 270, broadcasting on 1115 kilocycles in the medium wave band.
You're in tune with your good music station, Radio Invicta, broadcasting on 306.1 meters in the medium wave band.
You're tuned to KING, transmitting on 236 meters on the medium wave band. The time...
You're listening to the Voice of Essex. That's Radio Essex, transmitting on 222 meters, Britain's first and only local commercial radio station.
This is Caroline South on 259 meters in the medium wave band, the continuing sound of free radio.
Listen to radio, only 10,600,000 people.
Yeah, this is a special extended Anorak Hour where we're going to go back and remember the dark days of the 19th of August 1989 when the Ross Revenge, home of Radio Caroline, was raided. And this is a documentary from the RBL Library which we're going to bring to you now here on Laser Hot Hits.
Since its opening in Easter 1964, Radio Caroline has battled against the odds to provide its music to radio listeners in Europe. During this time, the station has not only had to fight the power of the seas, but also the law of the land. The battle has been hard and tough, but despite serious setbacks, Caroline has always continued. However, on Saturday, the 19th of August, 1989, the Radio Caroline ship, the Ross Revenge, was forcibly and violently boarded by armed Dutch police, Dutch PTT officials, and officials of the British Department of Trade and Industry. Most of the transmitting equipment was removed or destroyed, the crew were interrogated, and the ship was left in a devastated condition. This documentary tells the true story of that raid, the events leading up to it, and the reactions of those people directly involved in what was surely one of the saddest days in the history of Radio Caroline.
If you were a Radio Caroline listener tuned into 558 kilohertz during the week commencing the 14th of August 1989, the chances are that you would have thought that the station had few problems. Everyone on board sounded in good spirits, and few technical problems were experienced. However, behind the scenes, things were far from quiet. Former Radio Caroline DJ Paul Graham was well aware of the situation.
It was about 2 weeks before the actual incident, we realised that several of the key figures within the organisation were actually being watched, or let's say the activities were being surveyed by other people. And and then about a week before the actual incident, basically what they did, they appeared at the office, the authorities, and said that, you know, that they were aware of our operations, etc., etc. And we realised then it was obviously going to be a problem. So that was the first time we knew something was going to happen. But of course we didn't know what.
Dave Richards takes up the story.
Our supply boat was late. We've been suspecting supplies for quite a little while. Now that made us suspect something might be happening. Of course, there had been action when another supply vessel was intercepted by the DTI and a police boat. Now, they actually stopped that particular operation. although they hadn't been arrested when they returned to port. Now, some weeks later, another one had been arranged, and we fully expected that to be there over the weekend before August the 14th. But obviously boats are late, so that didn't give us much reason to be sort of too concerned. August the 14th came and went, did our little bit at midnight, and we got to the Thursday when we were getting a little bit itchy, as you do when you're waiting for a boat. And on Friday morning, that was the time when the Landward turned up. Now, we realised, of course, when that approached us, that its intentions weren't exactly friendly. There were a couple of guys with video cameras and stills cameras. They came right up to the stern of the vessel, and we thought, well, they're hanging around, this is a bit strange. One move that they made, which was totally unprecedented, and it's the first time it's ever happened, even during the Euro siege business, was that they contacted us by radio. So of course we had to reply, and they asked permission to board the ship, which was of course refused, and they did comply with that. But they did say that they would want to come on board because they had an awful lot to tell us. They told us that the Caroline organisation had been busted. That was it. There was no more support for the station. That the Dutch operation, Radio 819, had been busted, 27 people arrested, which turned out later to be true. But, of course, the Caroline organisation, there had been inquiries, but no more than that.
Caroline listener Ian Goddard was tuned into the station on the morning of Friday the 18th of August, and he recalls how things did not quite sound right.
At about 20 to 11, Chris Kennedy took over from Nigel Harris, and then 10 minutes later, it appeared that things were perhaps not as they should be, i.e. Christopher's Lady in Red and John Lennon's Imagine were played. At around 25 to 12, I heard Neil Gates state that Radio Caroline could also be heard on 819 as well as 558 from 12 o'clock. But after this, a few minutes later, an announcement was made by a Dutch disc jockey. And I believe he was saying that Radio 819 was closing down due to problems with the Dutch studio.
Music there from Michael Sembello on Radio Caroline. Radio Caroline is now broadcasting on 558 kHz AM and also on 819 kHz AM. This is due to serious technical problems in our Dutch studio. Things have broken down somewhat. We try and get them back on the air as soon as we can. But for the moment, people listening on 819 can enjoy the programs of Radio Caroline.
Very good day. You're listening to Caroline on 558 and Radio 819 at 819. A special message for the Dutch listeners. Een speciale mededeling voor alle Nederlandse en Belgische luisteraars van 819. Het zat er vanochtend al in dat we wat problemen zouden krijgen met onze studio. Nou, die problemen zijn inderdaad ontstaan. Een behoorlijk technisch probleem wat we niet 1, 2, 3 kunnen verhelpen. Tot na de orde moeten wij helaas de uitzendingen staken van Vakantieradio 819. Maar ik hoop dat je zult genieten van de uitzendingen van Caroline 558. Dus wegens een technisch mankement aan onze studio, een behoorlijk technisch mankement, zijn de uitzendingen vanaf dit ogenblik niet meer mogelijk. Maar we hopen natuurlijk zoals gebruikelijk zo spoedig mogelijk bij je terug te komen. Heel veel plezier met Caroline, maar wij sluiten nog eventjes officieel af via de studio van Caroline 558.
So they hung around all day, negotiations went on, and we thought, well, it's probably time to call their bluff. And at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it went out in our news bulletin.
On 558 kilohertz, this is Radio Caroline. Caroline International News, brought to you by Newsweek magazine.
Good afternoon, it's 1 o'clock, I'm Dave Asher. In the UK, the annual rate of inflation was 8.2% last month, a drop of 0.1% from June. And finally, the Radio Caroline ship Ross Revenge, anchored in international waters of the North Sea, was approached at 9:15 a.m. this morning by a vessel from Britain, and the crew identified themselves as officials of the Department of Trade and Industry. Also on board was a representative of the Dutch radio authorities. They stated that international action was being taken to silence the broadcasts emanating from the Ross Revenge. Permission to board the radio ship for discussions on the future of the ship and its crew was refused by the captain. However, talks took place and negotiations are continuing. We'll keep you informed as events occur. There's more news this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
And about half an hour after that, a couple of people in our team chartered an aircraft from Manston, which flew out over the Ross, and we thought, well, you know, is this more official action? Because that, by that time, the Lamwood was sitting away off our bow, because we'd sent it away whilst we sort of discussed what we were going to do next. And that came overhead, and these guys on the DCI boat were not particularly amused by that, because they either thought it was press or, you know, they were very, very worried about publicity. They didn't really want to be sort of seen doing the job. So later on in the afternoon, the Lamwood came back, and one of our chaps, Bruce Munro, who holds dual nationality, went on board as spokesman, went on board to the Lamwood as spokesman, and basically said that they wanted the ship vacated, and also, if unless this wasn't complied with, then phase two would have to come into operation. Well, two of our Dutch people wanted to go, but they said, the people on the Lamwood, that either it was all or no one. Well, of course, you can't leave a ship totally vacated, because once that happens, they're free to tow it in, do whatever they wish. I mean, it's just regarded as a hulk. So, of course, we decided en masse to stay and wait and see what happened.
On 558 kilohertz, this is Radio Caroline. Caroline International News, brought to you by Newsweek magazine.
Good afternoon, it's 4:01, this is Dave Richards. A leading member of the Solidarity Trade Union in Poland has been asked to become the new Prime Minister. Finally, the British vessel Landward, reported in our 1pm bulletin, is still in the vicinity of the Radio Caroline ship, the Ross Revenge. The boat is staffed by the Department of Trade and Industry. Negotiations between the two vessels have taken place. That's all for now, there'll be more news at 5.
Well, they said that they were returning to Ramsgate, because unfortunately, during the course of them going away, dropping anchor, coming back to talk to us, the anchor winch broke. So they went back off to Ramsgate that evening. And left us in quite a concerned state, because I had used quite a bit of psychological warfare sort of during the day. And there had been a certain amount of sort of panic on board, you know, what if this had happened, what if that had happened. And by that time, it had sort of no contact with the shore organisation.
On 558 kilohertz, this is Radio Caroline. Caroline International News, brought to you by Newsweek magazine.
Good evening, it's 6:01. This is Dave Richards. A leading member of the Solidarity Trade Union in Poland has been asked to become the new Prime Minister. And finally, the Department of Trade and Industry vessel Landward is still within the vicinity of the Radio Caroline ship MV Ross Revenge. Throughout the day, talks have been taking place between the two vessels. A representative from Radio Caroline held talks with DCI officials aboard the DCI vessel. That's all for now. There'll be more at 7.
After the 6 o'clock news, that was basically it. The Lamwood was returning home, and we reported something along those lines. And then everything program-wise returned to normal. We had closed the 819 service down. That was just the Dutch service, because that apparently was their main bone of contention. So we did close that down. We also closed our shortwave service down, and the viewpoint programs continued until 10 o'clock or 10:15 that evening. So really, I suppose, as far as the listeners was concerned, everything returned to normal. We did have a sort of fairly seasoned crew on board, and it really is best not to make too much of it. By that time, our powers that be knew of the problems and knew of the situation, so it really wasn't wise, we thought, to dwell on it. So kept the music going, kept the programs as much as normal. Because basically everyone was too tired by the end of the day after all the discussion to sort of continue it. The following morning, of course, 9 o'clock on Saturday, August the 19th, the Lamwood turned up again, and they had given us a midday deadline to decide exactly what we were going to do, whether we were wanting to come off, and also left us with the message that they'd hoped there'd be no violence incurred. We knew by that stage that something was about to happen, and probably something quite unpleasant was about to happen. So we tried to continue anyway normal programs up until midday, when the Lamwood called us via the VHF I wasn't on the bridge at the time, but the basic phone of conversation was that we had nothing more to tell them, and really there was nothing really much more we could do with each other. Good day, and that was that, basically. At about 20 past 12, again, we're on the bridge listening to the VHF, and we heard the tug Volans requesting that the Landward keep its distance when it drew alongside. Now, we weren't quite sure what was going to happen at that point. Indeed, it was suspected that it could even be a tender. This massive yellow-coloured tug came out of the distance. It was fairly bad visibility that day. And it came upon us in a very, very fast speed just around the back of the stern, and it manoeuvred quite cleverly up to the side of the ship very, very quickly. There were, of course, a number of Dutch coast guards on board at the time. Those guys were armed. Some PTT officials from Holland. Basically, I suppose you call them labourers, just to sort of get the gear off, do some climbing work, cut the arrays and what have you. We tried to contact the Volans by VHF. Now, they totally ignored us. So it was at that stage Chicago decided to make a speech on air. Obviously, you know, big problems happening when Chicago gets on air. So he made his speech in Chris Kennedy's program, who had to take over in turn from Caroline Martin because she was quite distressed about the whole business.
This is a special announcement from the Radio Caroline ship Ross Revenge. At the moment, we have a large Dutch tug, the Volans, whose intentions are not clear, but which seem to be, they seem to have the intention of taking this ship from the high seas. I'm speaking on behalf of the crew and the broadcasters on the vessel Ross Revenge. We've had previous warnings earlier on that some kind of action was contemplated. At the moment, on our starboard side, we have the Dutch tug, the Volans, which seems to have the intention of taking this ship, the Ross Revenge, from her mooring in the international waters at the South Falls Head. We'll try and let you know what's going on as the program continues, but I have an idea that events will move very quickly. Anybody hearing this broadcast perhaps could help us by telephoning the Coast Guard to register a complaint, possibly by contacting anybody in authority that you think could help us. This is the radio ship Ross Revenge, broadcasting from the international waters of the North Sea. And for the moment anyway, we'll return you to our regular programs. Thank you.
Just after Peter's speech, the Volans was basically alongside. Peter went outside and spoke to the main Coast Guard. And Peter tried physically and quite passively to stop him coming aboard. It was at that stage that the Coast Guard struck Peter and knocked him back, split his lip. One of the other armed Coast Guards behind him drew his gun, pointed that in the air. It was at that stage that all the hired hands tied the vessel up against the Ross, and at that stage, all hell broke loose.
This is the radio ship Ross Revenge, Radio Caroline, broadcasting from the international waters of the North Sea. It appears that we are now being boarded by a Dutch tug. We are being boarded by a Dutch tug. We hope to continue broadcasting for as long as humanly possible.
Representatives of the Dutch government have just boarded the Ross Revenge. At the moment, one of the people that's come aboard has been violent towards our engineer. We haven't a clue what's going on at the moment.
All we can say is these guys are definitely not here to take photographs.
No, and at the moment we have the DTI standing by at the rear of the ship. They are not, at this stage, appearing to do anything. We're going to make inquiries whether or not they are going to allow this behaviour. As I say, there has been some violence, and it's on behalf of the
It's the Dutch people that have been doing it. We'll get back to you.
Right, in the meantime, let's send these people a message from us. Here are the Beatles and Caroline, and All You Need Is Love. This is the radio ship Ross Revenge. We appear to be in quite a dangerous predicament at the moment, Bruce.
Yeah. At the moment, we have a ship alongside us. It's a Dutch vessel.
The Volans, I believe.
The Volans.
The Volans.
And it is endangering everybody on board. All right.
This is...
Just one more message, please, Chris. I've just spoken to the Dover Coast Guard. For anybody listening, would they please stop now calling the Coast Guard?
Okay, so once again, anybody who's listening, please stop calling Dover Coast Guard. Dover Coast Guard apparently now are fully aware of the situation. Nigel?
Yes, we have been now boarded by the Dutch authorities. We are in desperate need of help, and they are to shut the station down and take us all off.
Right,
if we are in international waters, this is a breach of this vessel's right to be here. And I desperately plead for help. We need help now.
So please, anybody who is listening, anybody who is in authority, anybody who thinks they can do anything at all, please help us. This is Radio Caroline, anchored in the international waters of the North Sea. We are currently being boarded.
I remember my first love affair. Somehow another to hold on.
Well, the latest news we have on board the Ross Revenge is apparently... whether we can believe it or not, according to our sources, this particular vessel, this Dutch vessel, this hostile Dutch vessel, is acting on behalf of the British government.
Please call your local MP, councillors, local radio stations and local newspapers. With anybody, please help, quick.
Thank you, Neil Gates. We've got just about, well, not quite everybody in the studio at the moment, but we've got a fine crew here. What's the latest news, Nigel?
The authorities are on board now, making their way to the studio.
Right, this could be the end. We wish you...
We stay as long as we can.
We wish you a lot of love. We've been here since 1964, Easter Sunday 1964, and hopefully someday Radio Caroline will be back. In fact, I feel sure that we will. Please keep listening.
Loving awareness is free. Is free. Is free.
So during the time that all this was going on, of course, we kept programs going, obviously to let people know of the situation. But because of there was such confusion and there were so many people sort of going into the studios, oh, Chris, can you turn the mic on because I've got this to say? Quite a lot of information was doubled up. There was myself who was on the bridge monitoring calls. To the ship, one from Dover Coast Guard saying, please tell your listeners not to phone the Coast Guard. We're aware of the situation, and indeed more aware than we thought, because they had been advised by the authorities not to receive any distress recalls whatsoever from the Ross Revenge. Now, of course, many Maritimers will know that it's illegal to ignore a Mayday distress call. By that time, Bruce was talking to the Dutch people to try and ascertain what was happening. By the time I finished my running around and had got to the studio to tell everyone what was happening, of course, that was quite an old story by the time I got there some half an hour later.
This is Radio Caroline, the radio ship Ross Revenge, anchored in the international waters of the North Sea. This is a Panamanian vessel being boarded illegally on behalf of the Dutch and British governments. There's a Dutch tug alongside and they are already on board the ship. They have already used violence against certain crew members here on board the Ross Revenge. If you can help us, please call your local radio station, local media, anything. Anyone you think can help us, call please now before Caroline goes.
This is Radio Caroline, broadcasting from the international waters of the North Sea, the voice of loving awareness. It's 4 minutes before 1 o'clock. And this radio ship is currently being boarded. In fact, we have been boarded. I understand that various officials from various countries are currently crawling all over this radio ship. It seems little we can do.
The atmosphere was very, very confused. Once they're boarded, people were obviously very nervous, but most of the people around the ship were that calm. But when he walked into the studio, that was the sort of last bastion, and everyone was very, very nervous, very tense, very indignant about what had happened, and very, very sort of unaware of really what was going to happen next. And I think that was probably the most exciting radio for some 20 years.
A very good afternoon to you on this black day. It is Saturday the 19th of August 1989, the radio ship Ross Revenge, the home of Radio Caroline for many, many years. We have been boarded by officials, and indeed one might even go so far as to say a couple of thugs from a Dutch vessel which is alongside. Several members of the crew have been manhandled, and it appears that their intention is to tow this radio ship away. This, of course, is a flagrant breach of international regulations.
It is exactly 6 years today since our broadcast started from this boat. This is a fine anniversary present.
One wonders about the timing of this event.
25 years on the air, 6 years on this boat, and they're now illegally boarded us in international waters with every intention of throwing the vessel away.
So if there is anybody at all out there who can perhaps offer us some assistance, whatever that might be, please, 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 please try. It's coming up to 1 minute before 1 o'clock. We've had just about everybody associated with the radio station in the studio. We have Caroline Martin, who's beside me. Not looking too well. Nobody's...
Discussions are going on now downstairs.
Apparently, discussions are going on in the mess room. We shall keep you posted. In the meantime, just to reiterate that message, this is the radio ship Ross Revenge, anchored in the international waters of the North Sea. We have been boarded by a Dutch vessel. Once again, we have been boarded illegally by a Dutch vessel.
At around this time, Invicta Radio's Jerry James was heading towards the Invicta Radio studios for his afternoon show.
Walked into the building at the radio station, all ready to do my programme, at about 20 to 1, I think it was, in the afternoon. And one of the newsreaders was saying, hey, hey, come over here, listen to this, listen to the radio. And it was tuned in to Caroline 558. And all these appeals were going out for help, and we're about to be boarded. And I thought, good grief, you know, this isn't looking very good. And I had to go on the air at 1 o'clock. As this was all happening, so I thought, oh dear, you know, I was a bit edgy, and on I went, sat there, and suddenly the phones lit up in the switchboard, people ringing up saying, hey, we're listening to Caroline, what can we do? And I said, well, why are you ringing me? And they sort of said, well, you know, they've said on the radio that to ring your local radio station, ring your MP. So I said, well, I'm really sorry, there's not too much I can do, just, you know, keep on listening and hope for the best.
Having awareness
is free. I would love you to know what it's all about, the effect that it has upon me. Something I'd like you to know. If you knew, would you cease to deceive? Something I'd like you to see. If you see, will you believe? Of all the friendship and trust that I placed in you, now it's gone and I cannot believe. Maybe it will come in time, but for time I have waited too.
Perhaps this will make itself known. But by then, you'll see who was wrong.
A good question. Do you know what it's like to be free? Over the years since Easter Sunday 1964, we have known what it's like to be free. And the only trouble about freedom is that it scares a lot of people, particularly the people who themselves are not free. And when they see freedom, the only thing they can think of to do is to try and stamp it out. And Radio Caroline refuses to be stamped out. Boarding party are finding their way to the transmitter room, and they are going to dismantle all our broadcasting gear, take the studio to pieces, dismantle the generators, and then incapacitate the ship totally. They'll also be taking staff with them, but I'm not too sure exactly how that one works at the moment. But they are now making their way downstairs. We will be going off the air any time.
Nigel, this is the saddest day of my life, and I think it's going to be a sad day for a lot of people.
We just can't fight them. There's too many of them. They have a type of size of the Ross. And it's not the end, I'm sure, although it's easy to say that.
The Ross Revenge is not the only ship in the world. We will be back. We can assure you that.
Caroline will return.
The 19th of August, 1989, is the day the UK, Great Britain, became a totalitarian state.
Radio Caroline, we love you too much to leave you forever. Please keep tuned over the weeks and months to come to our frequencies. And I feel sure that you will hear something in the not too distant future. We've got a further news update for you. Here's Dave Richards.
Yes, the situation is that representatives from the Dutch government and Coast Guard are on board. Their intention is, in fact, to take various broadcast equipment. We're not sure whether that includes AC generator supply, but surely it does include our shortwave frequency, the 819 frequency, and vital components, or the whole transmitter for the 558 frequency. Also our studio equipment, what they intend us as people no harm. The basic problem is that they basically just want this ship off the air. They're leaving the ship and they're leaving the people on board it.
We have the option to go ashore apparently if we want to.
Right. As it stands, the gentlemen are going to remove the transmitter from the ship and take a few other things as well. What they have just told us is that we are free to go back to Holland with them, where there will be no more charges pressed.
We will also be able to go back to England, and there will be no charges pressed there. Alternatively, we can stay on the Ross Revenge. Now, would you like to say anything, sir, before we go off?
So I was in the studio for the last time, and just done my little piece, which ITN never paid me for. So I'll have to send my, put my bill in the post. But anyhow, it was the last couple of minutes, and it was very, very tense. Someone burst into the studio and frightened the life out of us all, which turned out to be Bruce. And he had come up, he had just spoken to one of the guys from the PCT and was just saying his little piece. And basically, that was it. We had a guy from the Dutch authorities, who I think was a studio engineer, just walked in, and Bruce Munro asked him that, you know, would you like to say anything? And this guy didn't realise he was just about to make his radio debut, probably, and thought we were all off the air. But he denied the invitation and looked sort of totally shocked and rather gobsmacked at the opportunity to appear on Caroline. And that was it. We turned off our own transmitters. Again, the Dutch were rather sort of cautious. At least we pulled the plug on the final day, which was, I suppose, a fitting end to the day's events.
The Mail on Sunday, August the 20th, 1989. Caroline is silenced in sea drama. Radio Caroline was switched off the air yesterday as Dutch officials boarded the 1,000-ton Ross Revenge and seized the transmitter. DJs sent out a desperate plea for help on the air during the swoop in international waters 14 miles off Ramsgate. They branded Dutch officials thugs in a 20-minute running commentary on the operation, jointly planned with Britain's Trade and Industry Department's Radio Investigations Unit. DJ Chris Kennedy said, "They are trying to shut the station down and take us off. Anybody who can do anything at all, please, please help." A spokesman for the DTI said, "Caroline was clearly breaking international maritime broadcasting and UK laws. If there are British nationals involved, we would want to interview them."
We had about 10 or 15 guys on board all at once, including the senior PTT man who spoke to Peter and mentioned that what they wanted to do is not take the ship, which we were very surprised at, because our natural assumption was that they were going to tow it in. So they basically said that we want to take the transmitters off, unload those, all your studio equipment, which was absolutely crazy. I mean, there's no way you can sort of take about... The transmitters consist of about 16 cabinets and many tons, so you'd literally have to dismantle the ship to get those out. So in the end, what they had to do was dismantle them, and they did so rather badly, caused a great deal of damage in the transmitter room, some of it sheer vandalism. They're drinking a fair amount of beer down there as well. Over a crate of Grolsch was found down there, the remains of that. And the other crazy thing they did, they caused about £1,000 worth of damage to one of our auxiliary generators merely by smashing a fuel pump. They couldn't get it off, so they smashed it, which was basically quite unwise. They're also rather cautious of the way they took the transmitter apart. In some respects, they were cautious. Some respects, they were just sheer vandalism. They were slightly suspect that some of the transmitter wasn't isolated from the mains, which, of course, it isn't. So they were... They were quite respectful of Peter up to a degree, because they were relying on him for their lives, I should think. The studios were the first to be stripped, and the record library, secondly, they were stripped within half an hour of the original boarding. They were taken out very, very quickly, and it wasn't long before all that was out. They took the Caroline equipment. They said that, unfortunately, because the Dutch radio station had used the 558 frequency and our studio during the days that Caroline and the Dutch service used to share the same frequency, unfortunately, they had to take our equipment, including parts of the 558 transmitter, which actually sustained the most damage. So, this took around sort of 6 or 7 hours. They advised us that we should be confined to the mess room, basically so they could get it all over with and away home as quickly as possible. By this time, the DTI was standing off. They were tied up to the Volans by this time on their vessel. They didn't come on board, but they did talk quite a bit to Bruce Munro. By the time the Dutch had finished their dirty work and returned to their vessel for tea, they actually went back for tea before they finished, the DTI invited themselves on board. There was Jim Murphy of the Radio Investigations Department and also Mick, a guy called Mick, and one other guy. We weren't exactly sure what he was to do with. DTI actually denied active action in the role, but it was rather amusing because they were taking statements and cautioning various people, and of course you cannot arrest people in international waters. It's well outside of sort of British and any sort of juridical system. So they basically boarded without permission. The DTI certainly were rather out of order by cautioning people towards the end of the day, but by that time basically it was open house. I mean, we were all sort of fairly demoralised by that time.
Here's Paul Graham.
We really didn't know that the boarding problem was going to happen, but anyway it did, and I was very surprised, more at the veracity of it. You know, it really was quite a very poor show indeed, the way they went about it. I think they were under instructions to actually just take away the 819 and the shortwave transmitter and the studios that go with all that, and basically presumably leave the Caroline studio and etc. alone, you see, and just sort of take away 819 kilohertz and 6.2 megahertz. But of course they decided, I suppose as they were out there, that they would make a party of it, which is what they did. It was overdone. I mean, I don't think they needed to actually go about it in such a fashion, but the armed people on board were actually Dutch police, but the thing is, all Dutch policemen are armed. So that, you know, was sort of looked upon over here as, oh God, you know, armed people on board, but in fact it was the river police, the RCP, which have been involved in the towing in of various stations, such as the Radio Del Mara boat back in 79, the Mi Amigos Magdalena vessel back in 79, and their job is to control waterways, rivers, and probably the ocean, but whether it extends to the north, to the 4Z, I doubt. But yes, yeah, so violent, it was a very sickening thing to actually see the photograph, and certainly it was very bad indeed.
Newsflash. The Sunday Mirror, August the 20th, 1989. Sea Raid Scuppers Pirate DJs. Radio Caroline, which has broadcast pirate pop programmes for 25 years, was pulled off the air yesterday in a dramatic North Sea swoop. Dutch officials invaded the station 14 miles off the British coast and seized records and equipment. Some members of the Radio Caroline organisation in Holland are believed to have been arrested. DJs on the ship, the Ross Revenge, played the 60s hit Caroline as they told listeners, "We're being shut down." Former DJ Mike Williams said, "They said the station was being completely taken apart. It's piracy by the authorities." The ship broadcast from international waters, and the Dutch have no right to force their way on board and remove equipment.
Within hours of the raid, the events were being keenly reported by radio and TV stations, not only in the UK, but also around the world.
Here's Eleanor Oldroy.
Dutch officials have boarded the ship from where the pirate radio station Radio Caroline broadcasts. They're being supported by the British Department of Trade, which says there have been a number of complaints from authorised stations in Europe.
Pirate station Radio Caroline has been forced off the air. It ceased broadcasting when it was boarded by Dutch officials, a move the station says is illegal. Just before it stopped broadcasting, listeners were told that crewmen had been pushed around. Graham Majan reports.
A Dutch and British Department of Trade ship moved alongside Caroline yesterday. The Dutch claim the pirates interfering with radio signals in Holland. This lunchtime, the pirate was boarded.
The Panamanian vessel being boarded illegally on behalf of the Dutch and British governments.
And the end was sudden.
Would you like to say anything, sir, before we go off?
Former Caroline jock Mick Williams says it's a sad day for broadcasting.
There are hundreds of people, literally all around the world, all around Britain, whose present career
solely stems back to having worked on that ship.
Graham Majin, IRN, by the Kent coast.
Peter Moore says the boarders have committed piracy.
Dutch tug approached us this morning with Dutch and English officials on board. They announced their intention to board the Ross Revenge. We told them this was illegal because we are a foreign registered ship in international waters. They nonetheless began to board us by force. My captain and chief engineer attempted to resist this illegal boarding, and I understand they've been badly beaten. The broadcast staff then came to the assistance of the engineer. They've been manhandled. We have two women on board. Having subdued the crew by weight of numbers, because we have 10 crew and there were 30 boarders, they've then put us off air, and as I understand it at the moment, they are smashing up the ship. What's happened is these people have committed piracy on the high seas. I've taken advice from my directors in Canada, and what they've asked me to do is ensure we can identify every person who boarded that ship, and it is our intention to prosecute them for assault, criminal damage, piracy on the high seas, and we're going for punitive damages.
Radio Caroline has been forced off the air. It ceased broadcasting when it was boarded by Dutch officials, a move the station says is illegal. Ronan Carroll reports.
Mike Coolican of the DTI says he hopes the raid will bring an end to pirate broadcasting offshore, which he claims has caused serious radio interference not just in Britain but on the continent.
They have been interfering with the French marine safety channels, and that is obviously very bad news indeed.
Radio Caroline station manager Peter Moore says officials acted illegally by mounting the raid.
In international waters on a foreign ship.
But Mr. Coolican says it was all perfectly legal because the vessel was not registered with any country and was flouting international law.
Independent Radio News.
Dutch Coast Guards boarded the Radio Caroline ship Ross Revenge off the Kent coast as British Trade and Industry offices looked on from a nearby vessel. Michael O'Neill reports.
Caroline's last moments on the airwaves told the story.
Yes, the situation is that representatives from the Dutch government and Coast Guard are on board.
Staff say they were beaten up and their equipment smashed. The Dutch, who say Caroline's interfering with vital marine broadcast, deny an act of piracy. But Ronan O'Reilly, the man who founded Caroline 25 years ago, says that's rubbish.
If you board a ship in international waters, you are committing an act of piracy.
And Caroline's managers are promising the station will be back.
The veteran pirate broadcasting station, Radio Caroline, has been put off the air by a team of Dutch officials. The station, which has been around in various forms over the past 25 years, was transmitting from international waters some 14 miles off the English coastal town of Ramsgate. Dutch officials came alongside and boarded the ship. Scuffles broke out, and according to the editor of Offshore Echoes magazine, Chris Edwards, the Caroline captain and chief engineer both received injuries. The disc jockeys sent out pleas over the air for assistance, but the station went off the air some 35 minutes later. According to John Birch, the editor of the Caroline Movement magazine, officials then smashed up the studios and transmitters. Birch says Caroline will be pursuing the matter in the courts, calling it an act of international piracy. Tom Rivers, London.
Caroline ceased transmission off the Kent coast this afternoon. Broadcast equipment was seized as the station's vessel, the Ross Revenge, was boarded by Dutch government officials and coast guards. The station's transmitter was dismantled. The ship's crew were told they could go to Holland or England without charges, but they've chosen to stay on board. Just after 1 o'clock, they put out this last message.
We just can't fight them. There's too many of them. They have about the size of the Ross. And it's not the end, I'm sure, although it's easy to say that.
We will be back. We can assure you that
Caroline will be back. Caroline will return.
Radio Caroline is silenced as officials scupper the pirates. Britain's oldest and most famous pirate radio station, Radio Caroline, has been silenced after its ship was boarded by Dutch authorities in the North Sea.
Tonight, Radio Caroline is silent. The Ross Revenge she broadcasts from marooned in international waters off Essex, a Dutch tug alongside. Also alongside, a ship chartered by the British government, which has been watching today's developments but not taking part. There was drama as the Dutch went aboard, but Caroline kept broadcasting.
We've got a further news update for you. Here is Dave Richards.
Yes, the situation is that representatives from the Dutch government and Coast Guard are on board. Their intention is, in fact, to take various broadcast equipment.
The station's had its troubles before. A previous ship actually sunk. But tonight, the man who founded Caroline 25 years ago denied Dutch claims that they were acting within international law.
Every captain on every ship all over the world will know they're talking absolute nonsense. If you board a ship in international waters, you are committing an act of piracy. But there's no question about that.
The Dutch said Caroline had to be silenced because it was interfering with legal frequencies and maritime emergency services. And they also denied claims that they had forced their way on deck. Tonight, the Ross Revenge is still at her familiar anchorage, most of her crew still on board, promising that no one has heard the last from Radio Caroline.
So come round to around sort of 7 o'clock, we see this press boat drawing towards us. And various members of the Dutch crew are very, very keen to leave on their tug with all their plunder. As this came closer, one of the Dutch guys was saying, well, surely that can't be your people. Indeed, it wasn't. It was a journalist from Invicta Radio and a few other press people. And they tied up and got on board the ship. And Jim Murphy and his entourage were in a great hurry to leave and were left in a very marked manner, stumbled back onto the landward and headed off at quite a rate of knots.
On board the press boat was Invicta Radio's Jerry James, who was heading out to the Ross Revenge to cover the story for the IRN News.
Yeah, I was very lucky enough to get on a ship from a port in Kent, and we managed to get up alongside the Ross Revenge at around about 8:30 that evening. Now, as we approached, we were looking on the radar to check that there wasn't any other vessels in the vicinity, and looking on the radar, it looked okay. As we approached the Ross, it was getting round about sunset-y time. You couldn't see too well. We got near it and noticed the rather large Dutch vessel, which, as we came to know it, as the Valance, and also the English DTI ship, the Landward, which was there as well. So we thought, oops, you know, we've got to get on and talk to the people on here and see how they are when I'm out armed with a tape recorder. And we pulled up alongside and asked for permission to board the Ross Revenge.
Permission granted?
Yeah.
Where's the skipper? We need your permission to board your ship. We've got news from their pilots who have to take on the ship. We've got to speak to the crew and anybody else in the rest of the world. It's all right, yeah. The Press Association and IRN.
Favour with that, all right?
Take care of that.
And that, yeah?
It's the only equipment left on the ship because they've stolen all of ours. I mean, literally, they have stolen everything we've got.
£1 million this afternoon. Dutch are denying personally involved. What's the extent of damage to the ship?
It's wrecked.
Yeah, but hang on, let's be a bit more specific than wrecked. Okay, can I go up and have a look?
Yes.
Have you got that small camera?
Brilliant.
Yeah. Okay, let's go up.
Come on, we'll take it straight up.
Skipper, can we go upstairs and have a look?
Yes, no problem.
Thank you.
On pulling up to the Ross Revenge, a lot of people were sort of running around on deck, And we pulled up alongside shouting, press, press, and everyone seemed amazingly sort of pleased to see us at that particular time. We were sort of going, shut up, shut up, you know, we want to get on board and don't make a fuss. And we, as I say, we managed to get on board. The crew were obviously in a state of shock. The DTI were still actually on board at that time. As I approached with microphone waving, one of the DTI gentlemen just sort of said, right, that's it, threw his arms up in the air and said, we're going, you know, we're wasting our time here. Which really does make me wonder whether if we had managed to turn up a little bit earlier, we could have saved some of the destruction that actually took place on the ship.
As we arrived, the authorities left.
And that's the Dutch ship leaving just as we arrived alongside the Ross Revenge.
Full lads. The pirates, yeah.
The pirates.
The real pirates.
The real pirates of this saga.
Thieving pirates.
So a short while ago the Dutch vessel left and now the DTI vessel.
They both left at the same time. They were moored side by side on this side of the ship and they both left at the same time because obviously
they're left, yeah.
Actions are illegal and they don't want to be seen doing it.
Right.
We managed to get on board the ship. There was myself, a couple of other gentlemen, and my young lady as well, who was totally bemused by all of this, and managed to get on the ship. And the devastation that met my eyes was quite horrific. The faces on the crew, of those left on board, the Caroline crew, they were in a bit of a state of distress as we got there, because obviously a lot of action was still taking place. The Dutch were still there, the English DTI were actually on board the vessel. I managed to climb on, we got on board, and were immediately taken up to the studio to see what had actually happened.
This was the first studio, it was on the air until 1 o'clock this afternoon. They came on board, they ripped everything out of here. And the other two studios on board the ship have got it the same way.
Right, and what other damage has been caused?
They have smashed the transmitters up with sledgehammers, two 10-kilowatt transmitters and one 50-kilowatt transmitter.
Right.
They've removed every single record, about 18,000 records from the library, which is just so here. It's
so now they've rendered the ship
they've taken
for broadcasting.
Yeah, they've taken every cart and tape that we had, uh-huh. Everything that's connected with broadcasters.
And who was it who took it? Was it the...
It was this Dutch people, yeah, Dutch radio people. Authorities.
Right.
On okay. The Tug Voland, which is alongside here.
And how about the English authorities in this?
They have acted with them as well. They have both arrived as well. Those are the people you saw on the deck a while ago. They're from the Department of Trade and Industry Radio right. Regularity Department. They've okay. Cautioned the entire broadcasting staff. It first started yesterday. They came out and they spent the whole day on that small boat, which is over there, the Landward,
uh-huh.
Harassing us. They called us. They came alongside. They tried to... They told us the entire organisation in both England and Holland had gone down and that we were stuck here on our own if we come off now, like good luck, good lads, you know.
Right, okay.
And we said no, so they repeated that offer again at noon today. At about 12 minutes past noon, 10 minutes past noon, they turned up with this tug and they boarded the ship by force and took it off the air just after 1 o'clock.
Right.
And then they've ripped it apart.
And they've taken the equipment
on board. They have stolen over £1 million worth of broadcasting equipment.
Right, and that is currently on board the Dutch vessel?
That is on the Dutch vessel.
Okay, fine. And it's, sorry, what's your name?
My name's Neil Gates.
Neil, hi, yeah.
So, of course, we were very pleased to see the press people who very kindly brought us out some drink, which was consumed quite quickly. And we showed them the damage and the final scale, which, of course, none of us has seen. It had been the first time, for instance, that most people have been down to see the transmitter rooms. And certainly for the first time, I've particularly seen the sort of record library and the studios. And it had quite an effect, actually, even on the journalists that came on board.
Walked into the studio to be greeted with a sight which certainly as a broadcaster came to a shock to my eyes. A completely gutted studio. All that was left was the woodwork and part of that had been damaged as well. No tape recorders, no cart machines, no mixer, no turntables. The clock was still there and the mic stand was up against the wall minus a microphone. They'd even taken the microphone as well. Having a chat to some of the people in the record library. Following that, we moved swiftly down to the transmitter room and generator room. And again, a lot of damage had been caused down there, obviously, to the transmitters. And the generator, as one of the generators was in fact damaged, the fuel pump was removed, which left those on board with just one generator, which obviously is a danger to those on board. If that packs up, the lights go, everything goes. And they were just left with the one generator after damaging the other one, which left them in really a bit of a predicament.
Okay, just taking a walk out of the studio down to the record library.
Every shelf you see in here was full of records. They've taken them along.
There's just not a record inside.
There's not a record on this pub.
About 10,000 just...
10,000 records.
They took hammers to the transmitters and smashed them up.
Right. We'll take a look down there in a second.
They just ripped the studio equipment. They're cutting the cables. Just ripping everything out.
They're also taking equipment which wasn't used for broadcasting.
Yeah.
They've just looted the ship from end to end. Just tore it apart.
We're taking a walk down into the generator room among the transmitters. How are the feelings of the crew at the moment at this time? I mean, obviously it's very difficult to sort of say.
We just don't believe it's happening.
Yeah.
And we've been here for 25 years.
That's right. Just
and
shocked.
We just don't believe that this has happened.
Yeah. Morale seems high, though, on board. I mean, you know,
we're not going to let them... we've told them. They gave us the option of coming off with them while staying on board. We're refusing to leave the vessel.
Right.
We shall remain on board the ship.
So I also believe that they've disabled one of the generators.
Yeah, they just...
Could this be dangerous to the crew on board the ship? Would it affect the ship in any way?
Of course it could, because the ship has two main generators and they've disabled one. They've completely destroyed a fuel pump on it. So if the ship was to lose the generator that you can hear running in the background now, it would be dead. There would be no way of restarting the standby generator.
And of course that would put lives of the crew at risk.
That would put all the lights out, make it a hazard to shipping and put everybody's life at risk, yeah. And not only on board this ship, but all passing ships as well.
The general mood of the crew was surprisingly high in that sort of time. I mean, if I'd been out there at the time, I think I probably would have jumped off the side and given up. But they did actually seem in very high spirits. They were in very high spirits. Caroline, being a young lady out on the ship, she was taking it all reasonably well. She was a little upset, but she had actually calmed down by the time we arrived. But the general feeling on board was, yep, okay, this has happened, but we'll be back. We'll get there.
The Sunday Times, the 20th of August, 1989. Caroline knocked off the airwaves. Radio Caroline, the pirate pop radio station, was closed down yesterday by Dutch officials who were accused of using excessive force. The Ross Revenge, a 1,000-ton converted fishing trawler, was boarded in international waters in the North Sea by Dutch radio investigators and police as British Department of Trade and Industry representatives looked on from another vessel. Minutes before the radio equipment was switched off, Radio Caroline disc jockeys broadcast pleas to listeners to alert the authorities to their plight and claimed that their engineer had been beaten up and transmitting equipment ripped out. The DTI said last night it would like to interview the British crew, but it appeared they rejected requests to accompany the officials to Ramsgate in Kent.
On the deck of the Ross Revenge, speaking to presenter Chris Kennedy regarding today's events out here in the North Sea. Chris, we were first noticed something was going on after various appeals were given out on air. What actually happened? How did the boarding party approach?
Well, I was due on air at about 1 o'clock today, following Caroline Martin. I think I got up about 11:30. By this time, the DTI, the British DTI vessel Landward, was already sort of hovering about. They seemed a little bit agitated. They didn't sort of stay in one place. They kept circling around, and they were going here, they were going there, taking their usual photographs and videos and stuff. The previous day, they had given us this sort of deadline kind of thing, where they said that they expected an answer by 12 midday today. The question being, like, do you want to leave the ship peacefully, or do you want to be taken off, or, you know, we didn't really know what they meant, because they kept
asking the same question. I mean, surely the vessel is in international waters, so how can they ask you to leave a ship which is in international waters, which they've got no right to do, surely?
Well, exactly, as you say. They don't have any right. They have the right to ask the question, free speech and all that. And we got together in the mess room, discussed it amongst ourselves, as we always do, democratically, and decided that we were quite happy where we were, and we didn't really want to leave on this this DTI vessel. They didn't seem very happy with this, so, they called in the heavies.
And a boat appeared from the mist.
Just after midday, we had VHF communication with their ship, and we said, well, thank you very much for the offer. Very kind of you. However, we're quite happy where we are, and we don't wish to have any further communication with you. I then went down to what used to be the record library,
mm-hmm.
which no longer is, because they've taken all the records away. Got my stuff out from my program. Made a cup of coffee, went back up to the bridge, and in that time, and I suppose it was roughly about 25 minutes, in that time, they had communicated, and this was monitored by one of our Dutch presenters. They had communicated with a Dutch ship. We didn't know what sort of ship it was, who they were, but we knew that they were communicating with a Dutch vessel. Within minutes, this thing, it was kind of a hazy day along the horizon. Within minutes, what I can only describe as sort of a yellow, it was like, if anybody has ever seen The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, right? A yellow Vogon spaceship. It was massive. It was almost as big as the Ross Revenge itself.
Right. And this is, a 1,000-ton ship, isn't it?
Yeah. And we were saying, this thing... This thing is not meant for us, is it? You know, and there was lots of heavies standing around on the bridge. I mean, I think, you know, there were dozens of guys on this thing, taking photographs, videos, Dutch customs officials with guns, at this stage, still in their holsters. And they came so swiftly, there was no questions asked, no more communication. We tried to contact them. No answer. They came straight alongside. By this stage, it was coming up to, I suppose, 22, a quarter to one. Can't, as you can imagine, I can't quite remember the precise details at the moment. But I went into the 558 studio where Caroline was doing her program. And Chicago came in and made the first announcement that we were obviously about to be boarded and that we didn't know what their intentions were. Caroline, understandably, wasn't feeling too happy about this. And was, you know, rather upset. So I took over slightly earlier for my program. So I was in the studio while the actual boarding took place. So I relied on the various other presenters to come in and tell me exactly what was happening.
Because you obviously couldn't see from your studio.
In actual fact, they did come along the side of the studio porthole opens out onto. So, you know, in between queuing up records and speaking, I could actually have a quick look out.
Right.
And I could see that there was major heaviness going on. And the various other presenters, Neil Gates, Nigel Harris, and Bruce Monroe, kept me and the listeners obviously informed of what was going on. And we were told about the personal violent attacks on Peter Chicago, and the fact that, you know, guns had been taken out, you know.
Right.
So it was a major, you know, act of piracy, basically. And we had not given them permission to board our vessel.
Unlike and ourselves, where we asked for permission to come
on board,
and we came on board.
Of course, I mean, that is, it's not just international law, it's a matter of common courtesy.
Quite.
You know?
And basically, so we get to the stage of them coming on board, they attacked Peter Chicago, and what actually happened from there?
Well, not only did they attack Peter Chicago, but Neil Gates, who went to his assistance, you know, it's a natural thing, a friend of yours is, you know, in trouble, you go and you try and stop what is going on. He was in turn threatened by another of the Dutch crew from this vessel, the Volans. I was told that if he didn't move away rapidly, he would get his head kicked in. And those are the words, you know, that were used.
Right.
I was quite surprised, actually, that it took so long for them to get to the transmitters. I thought, right, the first thing they're going to do is, any second now, they're going to go straight down and switch off the transmitters. I actually, you know, in my naivety, thought that these guys will come along, they'll tiptoe into the transmitter room and, you know, unplug.
In actual fact, thank you very much, and
yeah,
good night.
In actual fact, that's not what happened. They set about, you know, just wanton destruction. They didn't just...
Was there any coordination in this, do you feel, or was it sort of the members of the Volans jumped on board? Do you think they knew exactly what they were going for, or did they just decide to smash up anything they could get their hands on, basically?
Well, the coordination aspect of it, I think, I mean, obviously it was well planned, because this ship didn't suddenly sail out of the fog from nowhere. And we'd had sort of veiled threats from the British vessel Landward DTI, you know, earlier on in the previous day. So, you know, they kept talking about a stage two, right? They were saying, right, this is phase one or stage one. Stage two comes tomorrow. Now, we didn't think it would be anything quite so heavy. But obviously, that implies that this was pre-planned by both governments. It had to be. Because, you know...
Yeah.
As I say, a ship that size,
just doesn't
that
appear
amount
out of
people,
nowhere. Yeah.
Doesn't appear from nowhere, you know, for no reason.
Quite. So they came on board, started damaging the equipment, and also assaulting members of the crew.
Yeah.
After they said, I mean, how long did this operation all take? I mean, we came alongside, well, quite late, I suppose, about 8:30 tonight. It was about 7.5 hours after the destruction started.
Yeah. I think we actually left the air at about 1:06. Apparently, that's when we left the air. As I say, I have difficulty remembering precise times. All I remember was I was hitting Caroline by the Fortunes and playing All You Need Is Love and saying, well, you know, this is why we're here, because... You know, love is the message, and music is the message, and that's all we're here for. I know, like, these guys are brandishing weapons and things, you know. then we were told there were certain parts of the ship that we couldn't go to. We had to assemble in the mess room. And there we gathered, you know, in total disbelief. You know, I mean, it's the only thing I can equate it to. It'd be a bit like if you were sitting at home one night watching Late Night Late, you know, and 25 guys from down the road decide, you know, they want to smash your house up.
Yeah.
How would you feel, you know?
Yeah. So the situation now stands that as we arrived and announced the fact that we were pressed, the Dutch vessel and the DTI vessel both left. Very promptly. I believe the DTI actually left before they had finished questioning members of the crew. Is
indeed,
this
correct? Yeah. Once again, rather, I mean, the strange thing about the DTI vessel, there was a difference in the attitude of the British vessel and the Dutch one. The Dutch one, they seemed to be quite happy just to go around smashing things up and taking things away, you know. The DTI were much more interested in interviewing everybody. And when they found out that we weren't exactly playing ball with them, they kept changing the rules of the game. One minute they were saying, well, you know, you can come off and nothing will be done. And then they'd say, you know, well, you know, unless everybody comes off, you know, you'll all be prosecuted. And then they'd say, okay, one or two of you can come off. And they kept changing the rules and they kept making phone calls. They were obviously, you know, making phone calls to their superiors. In fact, they did actually say that any time we put an awkward question to them, which was frequently, it was a case of, well, have a discussion, we'll get back to you in 5 minutes. And they'd race back to their little boat and, you know, on the phone to their ministry.
So the situation now lies that the ship is here, the ship is in international waters. The Dutch members of the crew have left the ship, I believe.
They have left, yeah.
So we have the Caroline crew on board, unable to broadcast simply because the transmitters have been smashed, they have been ruined, they went at the transmitters with pickaxes, sledgehammers, like...
And in some cases, empty beer bottles. A lot of these Dutch people, they seem to have been prepared for a long siege. They brought a lot of beer with them.
Right.
So during the day, they were drinking away, and the occasional beer bottle sort of ended up being used as a sort of an impromptu tool to smash things.
Right. So transmitters are smashed. The entire record collection has gone
everything
from the ship.
I mean. As I say, I was the last person actually on air, and being the sort of tidy chap I am, I always like to put the LPs back into their dust sleeves and into their cover and refile them. And I tried to pick up one of the records on the deck was the Loving Awareness LP, and I picked it up, and this arm, this hairy Dutch arm, grabbed me, you know, and said, "No, you don't." And, you know.
Did they at any time give any reason as to why they were doing this action?
No reason that actually made any sense. I think if you speak to any member of the crew, you will discover it is a senseless action. The DTI did mention something about interference. There were other veiled accusations levelled at the organisation in general, which could never be proved, and aren't even worth discussing. I think it was all just part of a general wind-up to scare the crew, and quite frankly, there were some people here who were genuinely scared. I mean that's another kind of thuggery, basically. It's sort of, it's, you know, emotional and mental blackmail.
Yeah.
And that's nearly as bad as the actual, or even worse than the actual vandalism that they have done to this lovely ship.
So the crew are on board. Everybody's here looking a little bit dejected.
But we're safe.
Yes, you're safe. And the ultimate question, will she or won't she continue?
Of course.
She will continue.
Freedom. Caroline represents freedom. This is something I think I said earlier on, right, on air. As Caroline represents freedom. That scares people. And when people who are unfree see something that is free, they want to stamp it out. And that is what has... That's what people have tried to do today, but it's not going to work. So we will be back.
When we were going to leave the Ross Revenge, we asked everyone on board if they'd like to come back with us. You know, I mean, it seemed pretty pointless sitting out there on a ship that couldn't do anything apart from bob up and down. And the mood of the crew was very defiant. No, none of us want to leave. We've all been through this experience and, you know, mark my words, it was an experience. They wanted to stay on board because they believe in Radio Caroline. They believe in why it's there. And they believe, obviously, as I say, that the last 25 years should not be thrown away. They could quite easily have left the ship when requested, but they didn't. They stayed on, faced the consequences, which, in retrospect, were a little severe. And the mood of the crew at that time was, yeah, we're going to stay here and we're going to get back on the air and no one is going to stop us. We stayed on board for around about 3.5 to 4 hours, having a chat with the crew. And so everyone seemed in pretty high spirits. Time to leave, because you couldn't stay out there all night, although the offer was there. But lots of waves from everyone on board. They all seemed, you know, a little sad that we were leaving. Unfortunately, we couldn't stay, as I said. We did leave, sailed away from the Ross, and she looked so calm and peaceful after the traumatic experience that everyone had had only a few hours before. We pulled away, and there she was, disappearing in the distance, looking majestic, but on a now calm North Sea.
But it was very, very nice to see some people. And it was very, very sad to see them go, actually. It was a great shame. But that was the first of one or two more press boats which came that week.
Newsflash. Evening Gazette, Monday, August the 21st, 1989. Blackout on Pop Pirates. The Canadian owners of pirate pop station Radio Caroline have threatened to take legal action tomorrow over its shutdown. A statement issued on behalf of the Radio Caroline organisation said it would be bringing charges of piracy, assault and criminal damage against British and Dutch officials for the raid on the pirate ship Ross Revenge on Saturday. Mr. Howard Rose, editor of industry journal Now Radio, which issued the statement, said the ship's Canadian directors would start legal moves tomorrow. But a spokeswoman for the Department of Trade and Industry denied British officials were with Dutch police and radio investigation service officers who switched off the pirate station's transmitters. An official from the DTI later persuaded two of the eight Britons on the Ross Revenge to accept passage to Ramsgate.
To round off this documentary, we asked Paul Graham and Dave Richards how they thought the dramatic events of Saturday the 19th of August would affect the future of offshore radio in Europe.
Basically, it's just a case of wait and see. I think Caroline will be back. I mean, Caroline always comes back. It'll be back, I think, before Christmas. But I think, personally, we've probably seen the last of the very long and association with the Dutch, which goes back to 67. With Caroline anyway, when Caroline's offices moved to Holland just before the Marine Offences Act became effective here. But I now think it's completely finished. I know there won't be any further Dutch connection with Caroline, perhaps in the future, perhaps. But Not at the moment.
At first, when we had the boarding party, I thought, that's it, they're taking in the ship, that's it. But as indignation grew during the day, as the whole sort of episode of that day drew to a close, and as they left, there was no question in anybody's mind that it would not return. That never crossed anyone's mind. No one said, that's it, it's the end, forget it. Of course, its sort of viability has been greatly affected, but it's certainly not the end.
No man will ever forget Saturday, August the 19th, 1989, was a Radio Broadcasting Library production, copyright RBL. It was written and produced by Mark Stafford, narrated by Tim Stewart, with news reports and introduction from Pete Semester. We would like to thank the following people for their assistance with this documentary. Jerry James, Dave Richards, Neil Gates, Chris Kennedy, Paul Graham, the crew of The Ross Revenge, Ian Goddard, John and Jenny Knight, and Chris Edwards. For a free catalogue of RBL products for the offshore radio enthusiast, write to RBL, PO Box 236, Dover, Kent, CT170YX, or visit the RBL website at http://www.rblradio.co.uk.
Listening to the Anorak Hour on Laser.
Yeah, fascinating documentary there from RBL Library all about the Caroline raid back in 1989. I must say, it still makes me very angry to hear what went on that day. It just goes to prove that the government can throw their own rule book out the window when it suits them. Anyway, let's play out with a few more Anoraki tunes and complete this 1.5 hour Anorak special. And let's continue with the Hooters, and this is rather symbolic of that fateful day. Goodbye.
At the moment, we have a large Dutch tug, the Volans, whose intentions are not clear. They seem to have the intention of taking this ship from the high seas.
They took the beat away, replaced it with machines. They took the words away and threw them on a screen. They turned the switches on and handed us the phones. They blasted out our ears with endless monotone. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? From a million miles away. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Getting louder every day. Give the music back. Give the music back. Give the music back before it's gone. Give the music back. Give the music back. Put the music back into the song.
It appears that we are now being boarded by a Dutch tug. We are being boarded by a Dutch tug.
They drove the blues away and banished rock and roll. They cut away the heart and sacrificed the soul. They closed the discos down and shut off MTV. They locked the music up and threw away. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? From a million miles away. Can you hear it?
by the Dutch authorities. We are in desperate need of help, and they are to shut the station down and take us all off.
And now a silence fills the rooms where once we sang, and all is quiet where the chimes of freedom ring. Somewhere a pirate ship is crashing through the waves, sending a signal out, a ballad to the brave. Give the music back, give the music back, give the music back before it's gone. Give the music back, give the music back, put the music back where it belongs. Give the music back,
oh, give it back.
Give the music back,
oh, give it back.
Give the music back before it's gone. Give the music back, give the music back. Put the music back into the song before it's gone.
Radio Caroline, we love you too much to leave you forever.
The government wants to close them down, but we want them to stay. They're playing sounds that we all like, so don't take them away.
When you're walking down the street with your transistor radio, everybody has a good time. You can dance to the beat of your transistor radio, even when the sun don't shine. You can hear your favorite rock and roll, rhythm and blues with a lot of soul.
Some swinging DJs playing top 40 records, they can really turn you on. Now the government's trying to close down the stations, what'll happen when they're gone? You won't hear the music that you like any old time of day or night.
Laser hot hits.
Madrid,
Rome,
London,
Florence,
Paris,
Antwerp,
Copenhagen,
Calais,
Dublin,
Turin,
Berlin,
Lisbon,
Venice,
Marseille,
Munich,
Belgrade,
Belfast,
Prague,
Milan,
Frankfurt,
Naples,
Oslo,
Edinburgh,
Warsaw,
Helsinki,
Cardiff,
Budapest,
Birmingham,
and to the whole of Europe, this is your Laser Hot Hits.
Blasting out across the nation, Laser Hot Hits.
We'll dream together, just me and